Hallelujah. It's really time to get serious about what the Lord wants to give us. I'm going to tell you why. Because the need is great. Medicine and doctors can't do everything. There are needs that are chronic that people have, that they take around with them day after day, that hinder them from what God wants to be done. And besides all of that, it's the abundant life that Jesus promised. Last week, I started with you in Jeremiah 33:3, which the Lord spoke very clearly to me. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And the Lord spoke this to me about a month ago. And he began to speak to me, that he wants to show us great and mighty things. Not just interesting things, not just things we haven't known yet, but great and mighty things that we don't know. Things we don't know. How many say, I'll go for that? He wants to show us things we don't know. The Amplified says, things that are fenced in and hidden, which you do not know, do not distinguish or recognize or have knowledge or understand. These fenced in, hidden things, we haven't been able to touch them. We haven't been able to get hold of them. I don't know how much yearning you have today, but mine's like a fire inside of me. I have a yearning. I have a deep desire. We've seen enough suffering. We've seen enough lack. We've seen enough people in bondage. And it's time now to understand how to lay hold on these things and make them ours. You know, when the Lord visited us in 1980 and took us into Holy Ghost revival for an extended period of time, more than a year, and it could still be felt strongly 4 or 5 years from that, what a wonderful thing he did. But when he did that, he taught us about repentance and cleansed us, and then he taught us about worship and corporate prayer and relationship with him. He taught us by bringing us into it and allowing us to experience. That's why in the book of Job it says, who teaches like thee? Nobody can teach like God. The Spirit taught us through relationship with Jesus and through meeting with him day by day. When I say the Spirit taught us, I mean he caused us to learn and understand and experience the things, because they can't be understood merely through the intellect and by reading the Bible. We're dependent upon the Spirit to teach us the things that are hidden in God's Word. His Word says that there are things that are hidden. It says that there are mysteries. It says that Jesus promised to reveal mysteries to some people, but not to others. And I want to tell you which ones he's going to reveal them to, so you can be among those people. We had read about repentance and worship, but through the Spirit, we actually experience these things. And prayer, really wanting to pray. Can you imagine really wanting to pray? It's a real malady in American churches. There's not a desire to pray. But the Holy Spirit did a work that caused us to want to pray. He did it. And to this day, the prayer and worship ministry of this church is the high watermark left by that revival. No matter how the enemy has tried, or no matter how the flesh has struggled, we won't give it up. We won't give up prayer. We won't give up worship. We won't give it up. Because it was birthed by the Spirit of God. It's really the great thing that we have in this church. Prayer and worship. Prayer and worship. Now he's taking us in another step into revelation about healing and miracles, because the harvest is ripe and there's a crying need. Now, I want to tell you something before I go any further. I was just thinking this morning about the need that has not yet been met, but the need is there. And we know the need meter. You know, our hearts are burdened for the White family, all they've been through. And that Karen White has seizure disease, and they've been pretty much out of church for a while. And the burden that that family is under is tremendous. The pain. I'm thinking about Alan Call, the burden that he's under. Hasn't been able to get out from under that oppression, that burden. And this morning, as this was a precious thing to me, Yahila, our little sweetheart, came up to me with her brother, brought her by the hand. And he said, she wants you to pray for her that she can be healed. And she's had a problem with the seizure thing. And she had a seizure in the back of the church this morning. And some people are continuing to minister to her now. I don't know. Whatever things happen, we need to take those as lessons. What could God be saying to us? Can God be saying to us, I want you to feel other people's burdens. I want you to have a sense. I want you to have a hands-on experience with things that people are going through. I want you to really immerse yourself in the reality of the pain and suffering of life. I'm so glad that that little girl knows where her help's going to come from. Heidi Baker ministered to her when she was here. And Heidi told me a couple of things about it. So we're going to look to the Lord and continue to minister that way. We're not going to learn these things by simply studying or reading other people's books on healing. But the Holy Spirit is teaching us those things now. The Holy Spirit is teaching us those things now. Jeremiah says these great and mighty things are fenced in and hidden. We haven't been able to get hold of them. But He will show them to us. Remember, I preached this last week. If we will learn to call out to Him and expect Him to answer. To call out to Him and to expect Him to answer. I expect God to answer. I plan to keep calling on God. You know, in 1 Corinthians, now I'm going to invite you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to look at a little passage of Scripture, and I want to make sure that I save time to tell you a couple of stories that are going to help you and take you into another realm of hope and expectation. How many of you would rather that I just not tell you some of the things I know that are hard to believe that are so wonderful that God's doing? Would you rather I just not tell you those things? Because once you know those things, then your spirit and your mind can be open. This is why the devil tries to hide them. These wonderful things that are happening, he doesn't want you to know that there's a way to get to these things and there's a way to overcome the wicked things that the enemy is doing. You know, Yongyi Cho, back when his work began, was ministering just with a handful of people, and some Buddhist priests came to him and said, either you leave this place or we're going to kill you. And so as he continued to talk with them, they said to him, you say you have miracles. Now, by the way, the devil can do miracles too. I hope you know this. So these Buddhist priests did miracles, and they didn't want competition from a God who does miracles and adds no sorrow with it. And so they said to him, but we'll challenge you. This sounds like, you know, Elijah. It just sounds biblical. Wouldn't it be nice if what we're living got to sounding biblical? We challenge you. If you can pray for that lady in town that everybody knows who has been sick and an invalid so long, who has that little child, and she will be healed, we will allow you to stay here. He said, well, I'll take that challenge. So he prayed, and he got his handful of people that was in his church to pray. And they prayed every day, and they prayed throughout the day for 30 days. Must have been a 31-day month, because I'm going to tell you it ends up good. And they prayed for 30 days. And then that night, when Cho went to bed, a monster came into the room that looked like a huge snake with a huge head, and he was terrified so that he could hardly speak. And it began to wrap itself around him. But finally he was able to get out the word, Jesus. And it began to loose its hold, and he said it again and again, until finally the thing dropped off of him. And in both of his arms he got the thing up and threw it out the door. And then he realized it was a dream. Now, but there was a group of people standing outside as he opened the door to throw out the snake that he had dreamed about. And a little bit later, those people came back. He said it was 4 a.m. And they came back and they were all happy and thrilled. And they said, "We have brought with us so-and-so, the woman who was the invalid, walking, running. But here's what she told him. At 2 o'clock, which was when he encountered this monster in a dream, it seemed. At 2 o'clock, she said, you came and prayed for me. She told Cho, he came and prayed for me. And I'm so thankful that I'm healed. He said, no, lady, I didn't come and pray for you. You certainly did. You stood outside my window and you said, in Jesus' name, be healed and get out of your sick bed. And that's why I am here today. Now, here's what happened. Here's the wonderful part. He planted a church there because immediately the atmosphere changed because the demonic spirit that had been holding that whole community in its clutches had to release, because through prayer and through faith and through resisting the enemy, the demonic monster that had held not only that woman in sickness but the whole atmosphere released its hold, and they established their church there. Now, why did I tell you that story? Because I want you to know that churches can change things. Churches who believe in prayer can change the atmosphere of a community. Churches can break through the lie, we're going to hold these people invalids forever. The lie that other religions and humanism and all of the things around us are going to hold the people in this area in bondage forever. They're not, if we rise up in Jesus' name. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I want to invite your attention to this. Verse 4, Paul said, now I want you to really concentrate here just for a minute on this scripture. I mean, I want you to think hard. I want to smell the wooden parts burning, okay? And my speech and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. We speak wisdom, however, among them that are full grown or mature. Yet a wisdom not of this world, nor of the rulers of the world who are coming to naught. Now, did you know there's a wisdom from heaven? There's a wisdom of God. And then there's an earthly wisdom. Please, church, start being careful now about what kind of world things you get involved in, where they tell you this is good and this is success and that is great and you should go for this. Young people, don't do it. Don't fall for it. There's a wisdom that is not of this world. The world will offer you everything, and you'll end up with nothing. Yet a wisdom not of this world, nor the rulers of this world who are coming to naught. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, even the wisdom that has been hidden, which God foreordained before the worlds, unto our glory. Hello? If you want to do something that is marvelous and people say, man, those people really know what to do, this hidden wisdom is what you need, because Paul said it's for our glory. Which none of the rulers of this world had known, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. As one man said, if they had known Jesus was going to multiply himself when they died, that the devil would have hired everybody he could find to kill anybody that tried to kill Jesus. But he didn't know it, because the devil doesn't know everything. So to quit telling him things he doesn't know. But as it is written, things which I saw not, or ear heard not, and which entered into not into the heart of man, whatsoever things God prepared for them that love him. But unto us God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. And that's just an example of when people read the Bible with their heads instead of by the Spirit. How many times have you said, well, eyes not seen, ears not heard, what the Lord has prepared for the... And they're talking about heaven. No, eyes not seen, this eye hasn't seen, this ear hadn't entered into the ordinary heart. But it goes right on and says, but the Spirit reveals these very things that the natural senses cannot understand. But the Spirit has revealed these things to us. But unto God revealed through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. You're never going to know the deep things of God except by the Spirit. And as you allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you and get in His presence and worship Him until He begins to tell you things. Just as He revealed to us about corporate prayer and worship, He'll take us into a dimension by His Spirit in which He will teach us healing and miracles. We've had much less success than we want to have in American churches today because we try to learn by the intellect and not by the Spirit. We teach classes until our learner has nearly worn out. But if it's only by, thank God for the anointing teaching that we've had here and the teaching we get on Wednesday night, that's by the Spirit of God. So it changes your life. It increases your desire. It's tremendous. This is also why we have so much controversy and doctrinal arguments in the church world. Because people are just reading and interpreting by the intellect, which is God's enemy. When men don't understand about revelation by the Spirit, they try to reason out the answers they feel they must have. Aren't we funny? If we don't know what it means, we just come up with an answer. Because sometimes we need an answer more than we need the truth. I want you to know I need the truth. There's a lot of things I don't have answers for. I'm waiting for the truth. You plug in an answer that doesn't fit, then you'll never get the truth. And you'll be dedicated to that answer, sometimes called doctrine. Bless God, says right here in God's Word. They almost should say, I say it says. What does it say? Even when I was in Bible school, they used to teach us, the Bible doesn't mean what it says, it means what it means. You try to just get everything by the intellect, you're going to miss what God's saying. Because it's not supposed to be read except through the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit that gives the revelation. In other words, reveals, uncovers, discloses what the Word is saying. So intellectually, we make up doctrines about healing because we haven't experienced what we thought we should have. Now, one of the greatest groups that I know to teach, you know, biblical literalism, really, and they're so strong on doctrine, but they have made up the doctrine that God's not healing today. Why? Because they haven't laid hold on the revelation about it and the empowerment for it, and they didn't get healed. So they made up the doctrine God's not healing today. Now, I don't know why He's mad at us and only liked people 2,000 years ago. We're people. I heard He died for everybody. How can you believe God is not healing today, especially in light of the fact that all of the people that are getting healed? That's another problem for those people. So intellectually, we make up doctrines about healing. One of them is the age of miracles has passed. There's no scripture for that. We just made it up. There's a controversy, you know, for example, about hell going on. Did you know this? It happens every so often. It cycles. But someone wrote a book, and because he was a pastor, had a pretty large church, he wrote a book, you know, that we're all going to escape hell. Everybody, I'm talking. And so there's been a lot of controversy about that. Because some people, they sit like this, can't believe that a loving God would send people to hell. That's because they just put it in the carnal computer and it came out. But if you, by the Spirit of God, if you understand the whole counsel of God, it's very clear and very easy to understand. God doesn't send people to hell anyway. They make their own choice to go to the place He provided for the devil and his angels. But what does the Spirit say? You know, God recently revealed a truth to us about healing. I remember the day that I spoke this, and it just seemed like the Holy Spirit just made it so real. And the word was this. It sounds like a simple phrase, but it's very powerful. Healing is not a promise, it's a fact. Healing is not a promise, it's a fact. Jesus did it 2,000 years ago. He bore stripes for it. And He confirmed it all the way through His word, both in what He said and in what He did. Jesus defeated sickness 2,000 years ago on Calvary. By His stripes, you are healed. And He said it in Isaiah 53:5. Isaiah had already said, by His stripes, you are healed. And in Matthew, He said that when He healed, He was fulfilling this word out of Isaiah 53. So He made it very clear that this is what Isaiah was speaking of. This is what he was doing. Matthew 8:16-17 says, when the evening was come, they brought unto Him many that were possessed with devils, and He cast out the spirits with His word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. And He said it again in 2 Peter 2:20. But there it says, by His stripes you were healed. It's a fact. He demonstrated everywhere He went. Time and time again He healed them all. Just as salvation is a fact, healing is a fact. And because of what Jesus did on the cross, we don't beg for salvation, do we? No, we simply repent of our sins and receive it. And Jesus actually said in His word, there's no difference. It is no more difficult for me to say be healed than it is to say be saved. It's all the same. So don't try to get him to heal us. Begin to line up to believe and let the word of God teach you how to release faith for this. Because He has already healed us. What we need is a change in our expectations. I think the second thing, I feel like the Lord has revealed a couple of things to us as we've been looking to Him. We've been seeing people healed, but we've been really having a cry to see more and more people healed and to see healings happen in our midst, even during the worship service. Or in people's homes, or just in the most unexpected places. It begins to happen when we really get hold of the revelation and our expectations change. And the second thing I felt that He has shown us up to this point is, remember I taught on this, to hold a picture in your mind. Keep that vision there. Hold a picture in your mind of yourself healed. Or hold a picture of your report being good that you're going to get from the doctor's office. Instead of chewing your nails and I hope, and I'm dreading and this and that. Now, that's not easy to hold that picture because your carnal mind wants to say, yeah, but what if, but what if, but what if. But here's the way Kenneth Hagin says it. Eradicate, uproot, destroy every suggestion, image, vision, dream, impression, feeling, or thought that does not contribute to your faith that you already have what you've asked for. Just tell your mind no when it starts worrying. Tell your worrier, go back to bed. First, have a vision of what you expect God to do based on His word and hold that vision in your mind and heart. It's faith that holds it in your heart. Now, I've done this recently, what I'm just now describing to you about holding that report. If someone is going for tests, I've done it with three people that I really care about, that I've really prayed about, that have had things that could have caused difficulty and maybe have been ongoing things. One was Jane, one was John, one was my friend Olin Griffin. And in all three cases, the reports were good. You know, we really need to step out and start believing God and changing our expectations. Ask God to get us out of the realm of the iffy-isms and get into the realm of really trusting God. I saw recently I heard a minister use this term, and I really liked it. He said, heaven wants to help you. Heaven wants to help you. You know, when John saw heaven in the book of Revelation, he saw the tree of life, and which has leaves for the healing of the nations, and he saw the river of life flowing from the throne of God. He saw heaven being a place where good is given forth for good purposes on the earth. Now, I want to give you another example that's far out. Or do you just wish I wouldn't tell this one yet? I want to ask you a question. Would you rather hear something almost beyond your ability to believe that God has done for someone? Or would you rather be satisfied to hold the fact that God will only do so much, and after that, it gets into the realm of, I don't think God would do that. Which do you like better? You like for God to be beyond what you would even think that he would do? When I tell you stories that are outrageous in the positive, in the wonderful, I only do it where I've really checked the source out carefully, because I'm not interested in listening to any more embellishments to the truth. I think we've heard enough of that. This story comes from Eric Johnson, who's Bill Johnson's son. He's pastor of that ministry out there. And he's a very low-key person. But while he's telling this story, he kept saying, I just love to tell this story. I tell it every chance I get. This is the most wonderful story. I just cannot get over how wonderful this story is. So he says, two missionary friends of his that have this orphanage, They were praying and worshiping God one day, and one of them was taken into heaven and was allowed to go into a room there. Now, how many of you remember when Heidi was here, she told about the room where there were body parts in reserve for when God... let me see your hands if you remember that. Oh, that's wonderful. Because I was talking to some praying people the other day, and they remembered more what Heidi said in that message than I did. I kind of like that, to be honest with you. And so Heidi has told us about this. Now, the Lord introduced her to that room a number of years ago, because it was at the time the cyclone hit. So I'm going to guess and say 8 years or 10 ago. The Lord showed her about this room. Well, this person was ministering someplace in some country, she and her friend, and she was taken into heaven, and she was taken into that room. And there was an angel standing there, and she asked the angel, do people order parts here? Do you send other things as well? Now imagine you got all the body parts there, and you want beans and rice. Because they're really desperate for beans and rice in these places. And so she said, well, I'd love to have some beans and rice, and we need some land that we can build a well, where we can build a well because we don't have any water. But as she was in the body parts room, she saw a spine, and she had scoliosis, pretty severe, that caused her a lot of pain. She didn't say it, but she thought, I'd like to have a new spine. So, getting her out of her vision or her dream or whatever it was, she heard a knock on the door. And this person said, I have a delivery for you. Now, you know there's no time with God. How many of you know this? He invented time with us so that we could know that someday, which is not yet, we're going to be with him forever. And so she went out to the truck, and there was bags and bags and bags of rice and beans and a 5-pound bag of carrots, which she also had asked for. And she did not ask for soccer balls and jerseys. But the children in the compound had been praying for those. And a little boy came a little later, and he was holding up number 8. And he said, I've been asking God for a number 8 jersey because my brother was 8 years old when he died, and he never got to play soccer. How many of you know God's amazing? Caring about little things. And so, a couple of days later, a man comes saying, I want to show you some land. And sure enough, it was the land on which they would put the well. And then a couple of weeks later, more than one angel came, bringing the new spine. I don't know. I can't even. My imagination, well, I have pretty good imagination. I really can't imagine angels carrying in a spine. I don't know if that's hard for you, but it's not really that hard for me. But you better get that imagination going, because didn't he say he's going to show us great and mighty things that we haven't known? Eye has not seen, ears not heard, neither has entered into the heart of the man what the Lord has prepared for those. But the Spirit of God will reveal it to him. Now, so she worships God, and they worship together, she and her friend, for about 4 hours. And they go to bed and go to sleep, and the next morning she's on the top bunk, and when she gets out of bed, she realized that she could see over her bed 6 inches, because that's how much she had grown in the night. Now, remember, they worshipped and praised him after they saw the angels. Apparently, the spine had not been installed yet. I don't know how to say that. And as they worshipped and prayed, the action was done. You know, we've got to study and read and search out understanding, but revelation doesn't come through study. It comes through relationship. John 14:21, he that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me, and he that loves me shall be loved of my Father. It's all about love, isn't it? Relationship. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Manifest means reveal or disclose. Disclose is kind of like, you're my really good friend. I'm just going to pull back my coat and show you some things that are under here that I haven't shown other people. I'm going to disclose myself to you. Who? To those that keep his commandments and really love him. Those that have a love relationship with him. And out of that love relationship, they give themselves to worship. Everything comes out of worship. Everything comes out of worship. The power, the understanding. Paul said that he knew Jesus by revelation. No man told him. He referred to the gospel as the fellowship of the mystery. If we don't like mystery, I mean, unless it's a Nancy Drew mystery, but we don't like something that is mysterious beyond our being able to get hold of it. Because we think we're supposed to be able to understand and figure out everything. But what happens is, in the mysteries of the kingdom, which the Lord promised to open to us, he opens it. You know, he said, I've got some other things to tell you, Paul did, but you can't bear it. No, it was Jesus, but you can't bear it now. As we can bear it, he will open. How are you going to bear it? You're going to fall more in love with him, get more into worship, where there'll be an atmosphere where you can receive. You can't bear it. Your flesh can't bear it. So you have to let him bring you into the realm of the Spirit. You know, I'm wanting this to be practical today. I'm wanting you to go home today and say, you know, I have hope that I can come into this realm. And that I can begin to lay hold on things for healing and miracles that I didn't think before was even possible. That's what I want to happen. And so he says in Ephesians 3, 9 and 10, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God who created all things by Jesus Christ. Why? To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. God wants us to make a demonstration for the powers of heaven and the powers of hell to see. He is not just trying to tantalize us some way, but he's holding these things out so that we can walk into them. But revelation is the fruit of friendship. This one other scripture says in John 15, 13, you are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends since I have said, told you everything the Father told me. We've got to get into a friendship relationship with Jesus. And then he'll tell us everything. Think about it, that the Father has told him. There's a lot of things we need to be told, church, and only heaven can tell us. We need heaven to help us. The Bible was never written to be read without the Spirit. I remember when I was a little kid, I must have tried 40 times to read the Bible. I never got any farther than two or three chapters in Genesis. Because I was reading it with what little shred of intellect I had. Now, let me finish up here. I want to go back to Heidi and the three keys from heaven, which I've been told she's already preached here. So you have a good foundation. This should really help you today. I did remember that she preached it here. But I've heard her preach from a lot of different places, but I didn't remember one or two things that the praying people told me she said. She said that during a worship service, everybody say during a worship service. We need to really worship God when we worship. This would be a good time to say, you know, having conversations during worship is not a good time. I mean, really, we're talking to God and the people will still be there. Let's always respect the presence of God. When we worship God and give ourselves to worship. So when she was worshiping the Lord, the Lord appeared to her and held out three keys. And she got so excited and started jumping up and down. She said, I got so excited I almost forgot to take the keys. And he told her what the keys were for. One of them was the key to God's provision. That would be the key to the storehouse of food and all the things that are needed. And he told her, because it's important now that we see these three rooms, I got this time when I heard it, that they're open under certain conditions. The provision room was open, he said to her, anytime you need to go in. So whenever there's a need for God's kingdom, not just because you want to have lunch with some friends today, but any time that she needed that she could go into that room. And he showed her all the great provision that was there. Now, what happened was that it was during the cyclone, and thousands of people were starving to death. It was the perfect storm. It was the greatest flood they had ever had. And people were dying. It was such a pitiful situation you cannot imagine. And they thought, if we can just feed some of the people so they won't die through starvation. So she asked the Lord for food for 10,000 people. That's what I was talking about. You know, not just give us this day our daily hamburger. We're talking about really supernatural, something that needs to be done for the people that Jesus loves. So after she had prayed, shortly after she prayed, two men came and told her, there is a freighter coming to you. And she said, oh, but I need it now. And they said, he said, it's on the ocean now. It will be here shortly. Then shortly after that, while the freighter was on the way, another one came and said, we understand that you need a warehouse to store a large amount of food in. And so here are the keys. She said they were so excited they forgot to tell her where the warehouse was, but they found it. And they fed thousands of people with that food. The second key he gave her was to the body parts room in heaven. She said, eyes, noses, knees, feet. And he told her about the body parts room. You can go in when I tell you. And she said, why, Lord? And he said, because you'd never get any sleep otherwise. You see what I'm saying? Everybody'd be on her case for a body part. She'd just be the parts manager. She said, in the last 3 years, 3 years ago, the Lord gave her access to the ears. Now that explains why they have 100% healing of deafness when she's ministering in the other countries. What an amazing concept. Did you ever say, I wouldn't have thought of that? Duh. That's not kind of God being so smart. I'm almost finished. Everybody say, I think we can make it through. And the third place was the secret place where Jesus was. But she had to get down so low to get through that door. She basically had to crawl and reached up her hand to take the key. She saw his feet there. And listen, she worshiped and worshiped and worshiped. And he said to her, you can come to this place as often as you want, 24 hours a day. Listen, we have the keys to the worship room, to the secret place, to the presence of Jesus. Now, everything comes out of worship. If we move in the realm of revelation, if we see miracles, if we see signs and wonders, these things are going to happen because we've come into worship. And out of that worship, then, he begins to release these things to us because we have gotten to the place where we can receive those things. Now, you simply cannot receive things of the Spirit when you're in the flesh or operating in the flesh or just thinking normal thoughts. But when you move into worship, then you begin to let God speak to you. How many of you remember last Sunday there were about three different things that I said to you. The Lord spoke that to me while we were in worship this morning, right? Well, it's so wonderful. It's just like a little gentle river that runs. And it just speaks to my spirit and gives me these little impressions and takes me into another place where the prophetic can flow then, where miracles could happen, where healings can take place. So healings could just take place while we're worshiping because we've made room for that because we've gotten the flesh out of the way. How many of you understand this? And see, the Lord taught us to pray, and to pray corporately. He taught us that we have exponential power when we pray corporately compared to when we just pray by ourselves. So, you know, we have two corporate prayer meetings here, one on Tuesday morning at 10 a.m., one on Friday evening at 7 p.m. Let me tell you why we want you to come to that. We'd love to have as many of you as can do this to gather with us. It's because we are changing the atmosphere. We're not just praying, God, give us this and God, help us that. No, we're working out a place. See, if you really want us to be a miracle-working, healing church, this is one of the ways you can help us to do this. And it'll be easy for you. You just come, we worship 15 to 20 minutes before we ever pray. And so then it's easy to just flow into that realm. It's not anything hard. Nobody's making any big expectation. But I'm going to tell you one more little, it won't take long, but you need to know this before we go. When there was the cholera epidemic in Mozambique, the Lord spoke to Heidi and told her how the people could be healed. They had had a wedding, and there was about 80 people there. Part of them were pastors. It's getting a little warm in here, guys. I can tell because some eyes are getting a little bit, if your eyes are getting heavy in the midst of what we're saying now, it has to be the heat. I just happen to know that. You can't fall asleep with Heidi Baker healing cholera all over the place. No, I understand. Sometimes it's a little warm for me. Imagine that. It's not for you. So I thought this was so wonderful how the Lord showed her how to. See, we try to jump in and just pray however we feel. Or we heard somebody else do that. And that sounded pretty good. Charlotte Baker used to turn to me when we'd be hearing wonderful music or ministry. In this case, it was music I was thinking of. She'd turn to me and she'd say, "So we don't know nothing about music, do we?" So anything that, you know, in a way, we don't know nothing about how the Spirit of God really works. We've got to let Him teach us. He has to show us each time how He's going to do the things that He wants to do. And that means that you're going to be doing a lot of praying and a lot of worshiping so that you can tap into that realm where you can hear from God. So the Lord said to her, eye to eye, cheek to cheek, heart to heart. She sneaked into the tent where people were dying from cholera because nobody was allowed in there. But she did take Sapraiza with her, who raises people from the dead on a regular basis. I would have done that. And she took every person there dying of cholera, throwing up, all the things that go with cholera, in the dying stages, looked into their eyes, put her arms around them, put her cheek against theirs. Every single person. The first day, 40 people were healed and walked out. The second day, 30 people were healed. The third day, they went back and healed the unbelievers that were not a part of them that were there. But I don't know, you'd have to hear from God. You want to hold a cholera patient that's dying in your arms, you have to know you're hearing from God. You have to get into a place where He gives you faith. But what I want to do this morning is to challenge us as a church and say, you know, probably no church in this area, the pastor told bigger stories today than I have. Would you say? This is probably too. I mean, at the Methodist church I went to, I don't think they've probably told a story like this, though I've heard they do have a good pastor. But I'm just saying to us, we have been royally challenged in this place. And the Holy Ghost has let us know, you know, we just should never have found out these things if we didn't want to get hungry and thirsty and get to the place where we say, I know we can have. Aren't you glad when you need healing that there's a possibility of something way beyond? And I'm not saying today that you and I should look particularly and have something happen like any of the stories I told you. I'm just saying I just want you to believe heaven wants to help us. That there's a God in heaven that wants His kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. He wants the earth to match the heavens. He wants to set us free from our pain. You know, in heaven it says no more curse. I want it to be on this earth. These things are curses that we have to deal with that go on day after day, day after day. And here's what I want to say to us this morning. I hope your faith has been stirred. What I want you to do this morning is I want every person, I want you to stand. I want you to pray for yourselves today. Now, I've asked that we play that song again that we were singing earlier in the service, Healing is Here. Whatever that chronic thing that you're dealing with, or that painful thing, or that difficult thing, it could be something in your body. It could be something in your mind, in your psyche. It could be oppression or depression. It could be an aggravating thing that people tell you, oh, that's what happens when you get older. Well, I'm here to tell you it's not. What happens when you get older is people predispose you to give in to these things. But Jesus has an abundant life for you, and He wants to. You may be thinking today that you're almost ready to give up, or you might have already thought, I'm not going to expect any miracles. I'm just going to do the best I can. Oh, please expect miracles. Oh, please don't quit expecting miracles. What do we have if we can't break through from this mundane world? I mean, everybody going to every church goes there and stands and listens to the Word. Didn't God call us to come up higher and really touch Him?